We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as we are, we come. We come into your marvelous presence knowing that your cross has provided salvation to each and every one of us. May we not live in the folly of our own wisdom, but may we shine forth in the power of your cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, I want to begin with a question. What are you looking for in your life? Think about that for a moment. What are you looking for in your life? The epistle reading, one of my favorite texts of Paul's here in Corinthians, is a marvelous text. Oh, by the way, you guys have so much talent here. Angela blew me away with the beginning of that. You know, I have trouble. You know, my best German is Sprechen Sie nicht so gut. It's just a joy to watch God's people at work together in this place. Well, back to the text. The words of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. How powerful are those words for your life and my life as we live them out in our times? It's interesting because Paul, as he writes to the church, opens with these words. The words of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Oh, and then he goes back to the Old Testament, where there he refers to Isaiah, Isaiah 29. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder and upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be heaven. Yes, he will destroy the wisdom of the wise. He will take the discernment of the discerning and throt it. He opens this letter with contrasts. Foolishness to wisdom. Folly to power, weak to strong, those who are perishing to those who are being saved. Think about the implications of what Paul is talking about here. He's up front. The wisdom of the Greeks or that of the world leads us to an eternal damnation. Separated from Christ, down a path that I would hope we would not want to travel. Wisdom of this world is self-serving oftentimes. The wisdom of this world looks at the cross as nothing more than foolishness. And yet, in Christ, we see the wisdom of God. Through Christ and Christ alone, you and I are being saved day in and day out. He refers to the prophet Isaiah because Isaiah foretells the failure and defeat of human reason down through all of the ages. Our age, like that of Paul's, like that throughout Scripture, is characterized by sin. Sin causes men to search in the wrong places as they search for God. We cannot find our strength in the wisdom of the world. Christ did not come through the power of wisdom. Christ came through the folly of a cross. Verses 20 to 25, Paul contrasts that wisdom of the world with Christ's cross. Jews demand signs, and we saw it throughout the Gospels. The Jews wanted to see those signs. God gave them signs. He healed the sick, the lame, opened the eyes of the blind, even raised people from the dead. But they, in their wisdom, were looking for a different sign. They were looking for a liberator, one who would free them from Roman oppression, not a savior from the power of sin. Greeks, they loved their intelligence and their wisdom. They wanted philosophical answers. Human reason absurd the power and sufficiency of the cross. The Word of God comes by the power of what God has done for us. So we come back to the question, what are you looking for? What are Christians looking for today? So oftentimes what seems like folly and weakness is our real power, because we have to see God at work in our lives. You know, during my 45 years of ministry, I've often seen where we as clergy and oftentimes church leaders and sometimes people in the pew, we hear the Word of God, but we look for something more. I can't tell you how many different programs I began over that time of ministry. I started a church from scratch, constantly under pressure. Pressure because you have to put people in the pews and money in the coffers. And sometimes we lose sight of putting God's power of salvation in the lives of people. Yes, sometimes we in the church struggle with twin idols, numbers and money. These idols drive too many churches' agendas. When our focus is on how many people we put in the pew or how much money we need to be able to do what we want to do, then we lose sight of the real mission of the church, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a simple mission, preaching the gospel. Preaching about what Christ has accomplished for us. It is about talking about the folly of the cross. A cross on which Christ put himself for the lost and condemned world. Yes, the world in which you and I find ourselves today is not a whole lot different than the world of Paul. If we look around us, oftentimes emphasis is on wisdom, power, strength, wealth. We oftentimes look at churches as either thriving or weak. It's easy for us to talk in generalities about the church and to make these bold claims about what we ought to be. This morning, I want to narrow my focus to this community of faith. To all of you as you sit here this morning. To all of you who call yourself a part of Trinity Lutheran Church. I'm not here to point fingers. My goal is to rally saints in this place. 7 months ago, you had an event that's challenged both people and ministry. and yet you worship together. That event leaves with it a power vacuum. And in a vacuum, things happen. Some of it can be good, and yet some cannot be so good. It can lead to uncertainty. When we are so focused on the two idols of numbers and money, we lose sight of where our ministry ought to be. We get so focused. How are we going to do it? We don't have enough people. How are we going to do it? We don't have enough money. And oftentimes it is money that drives ministry instead of ministry driving what we do in the church. Look around you. It's wonderful to see so many here this morning. Look around you. These are your people. Some of you have been here a long time. Some of you, not so long. And yet these, all of you together, are brothers and sisters in Christ. And temptation of Satan is to lead you down paths of looking at one another and wondering. Satan leads us to times when we want to point fingers. Play the blame game. Or to doze off thinking, if only. This kind of thinking does nothing positive. But God uses the means of grace. His word and the sacraments, so that he may empower each and every one of you as believers to be about a mission in this community as brothers and sisters in Christ. In the third article, he reminds us in these words, the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. And he keeps it with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your lives together. Disciples live in the power of God's grace, of God's love, of God's mercy. In what Christ has accomplished for us, what we need is a power surge. A power surge from the Holy Spirit to move us from just being members and thinking about how are we going to pay for this to being disciples. God's people passionate and finding joy in sharing together in the oneness you have as God's people in this place. No, you're not going to overcome every problem very quickly. It doesn't happen that way. But you can join together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I am amazed at how God has worked in your midst over these last 7 months. God is at work in you. Today, oh yes, there are some who want to focus on bitterness and the sadness, but it is a time for all of you to rejoice together, to find joy in the power of Christ at work in your lives. Now more than ever, you need to come together to listen to one another, to pray for one another, and to pray that God would lead you to the depths and the breadth of the oneness that only He can give you as we gather at the foot of the cross. The early Portuguese colonists built a massive cathedral at Macao, China, with a splendid approach to that cathedral of some very beautiful stone steps. Shortly thereafter, a strong typhoon nearly wrecked the building. Only the front wall remained intact. But as it remained intact, there stood on the summit a great bronze cross that defied the storm and the weathering of time. When Sir John Bowring in 1825 set foot upon that city of Macao as the governor of Hong Kong, what he first saw was that cross as he entered into Macao. It had stood the ravages of time and storm. He was so impressed by that uplifting cross that he simply wrote a poem. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred stories gather around its head sublime. That poem became a hymn, and we will end our service with that hymn today. Thousands have visited the ruins, and what they see is that cross beaming forth. Some see it with indifference. Some see it with curiosity. And some see it with reverence. I invite you to look to the cross and see it in reverence. No matter where it stands or how it stands, that cross is a reminder of who we are and whose we are and what He has done for us. God is at work now in your midst. God's power is able to move you forward by His grace, by His love and His mercy. We need to look to one another as brothers and sisters. We need to reach out to one another when one is hurting, or when one is sad, or when one is bitter. Let's talk to one another. Let's live that discipleship that God has called us to live, to lift up the cross, to be His children, to proclaim that salvation belongs to us. Being believers who find our abundance in seeing what Christ has accomplished. God is not finished with you. He has a plan for you. Don't find the cross as folly. Live in the power of that cross. Amen.